Let us prepare our hearts for worship. The Lord is in His holy temple. Taken from Psalm 92 and verses 1 to 3. A psalm or song for the Sabbath day. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. Upon an instrument of 10 strings, upon the psaltery, upon the harp, with a solemn sound. Amen. The opening hymn is number 85, O Day of Rest and Gladness. Congregation, please arise. Let us remain standing as we look to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for the gathering of the saints in the quiet sanctuary of Thy house. O Lord, we praise Thee that Thy people may be assembled together to worship Thee. Help us to worship Thee in spirit and in truth. And bless this day, the day of the resurrection, as we remember the victory that Christ has won upon the cross, how He died for our sins, shed His blood to wash our sins and to rise again on the third day, victorious over death, over hell. O Lord, we thank Thee that by faith we are partakers of this blessing. And as we come before Thee in holy worship, made holy through Christ, we ask that Thy peace and joy may fill our hearts, and that Thy word may grant us comfort and wisdom for life in this new week. This we pray with thanksgiving through Jesus Christ, who on earth taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated. The reading of God's word is taken from the book of Genesis. We are at chapter 43 and verses 15 to 34. We shall be reading Genesis chapter 43 and verse 15. It says here, and the men took that present, and they took double money in their hand, and Benjamin, and rose up, and went down to Egypt, and stood before Joseph. And when Joseph saw Benjamin with them, he said to the ruler of his house, Bring this man home, and slay, and make ready, for this man shall dine with me at noon. And the man did as Joseph bade, and the man brought the man into Joseph's house. And the men were afraid, because they were brought into Joseph's house. And they said, Because of the money that was returned in our sacks at the first time, are we brought in, that he may seek occasion against us, and fall upon us, and take us for bondmen and our asses. And they came near to the steward of Joseph's house, and they communed with him at the door of the house, and said, Oh, sir, we came indeed down at the first time to buy food. And it came to pass, when we came to the inn, that we opened our sacks, and behold, every man's money was in the mouth of his sack, our money in full weight, and we have brought it again in our hand. And the other money have we brought down in our hands to buy food, we cannot tell who put our money in our sacks. And he said, peace be to you, fear not, your God and the God of your father hath given you treasure in your sacks. I had your money, and he brought Simeon out unto them. And the man brought the men into Joseph's house and gave them water, and they washed their feet, and he gave their asses provender, and they made ready for the present against Joseph, and came at noon, for they heard that they should eat bread there. And when Joseph came home, they brought him the present which was in their hand into the house, and bowed themselves to him to the earth. And he asked them of their welfare, and said, is your father well? The old man of whom ye speak, is he yet alive? And they answered, thy servant, our father, is in good health. He is yet alive. And they bowed down their heads and made obeisance. And he lifted up his eyes and saw his brother Benjamin, his mother's son, and said, is this your younger brother of whom ye speak unto me? And he said, God be gracious unto thee, my son. And Joseph made haste, for his bowels did yearn upon his brother, and he sought where to weep. And he entered into his chamber and wept there. And he washed his face and went out and refrained himself and said, set on bread. And he set for him by himself and for them by themselves and for the Egyptians which did eat with him by themselves, because the Egyptians might not eat bread with the Hebrews, for that is an abomination unto the Egyptians. In unison, the last two verses. And they set before him the firstborn according to his birthright, and the youngest according to his youth. And the men marveled one in another. And he took and sent messes unto them from before him. But Benjamin's mess was five times so much as any of theirs. And they drank and were merry with him. Amen. Thank God for the reading of his most precious word. Now, in response, we have the hymn 264. I am coming to the cross. 264. We shall now have the Lord's Supper. Turn with me to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. And verse 1 of Isaiah 53. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. Amen. The Lord's Supper is instituted for all born again, baptized believers in the Church of Jesus Christ. If you are not a believer, if not been baptized, please refrain from partaking of the elements. We thank the Lord in this passage in Isaiah chapter 53. It's described for us the sufferings of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is described in a physical way, but the spiritual significance is amplified for us so that we may understand as we contemplate how we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. In other words, the Lord hath provided a way out for us in the Lord Jesus Christ through his sacrifice. And when the Apostle Paul reminded the church, he reminded them that we partake the Lord's Supper in remembrance of the sacrifice of Christ on our behalf. How he took on the penalty, the punishment for our sins. How he suffered spiritually, physically, to win heaven for us. So this salvation was wrought at an infinitely great and heavy price. And the Lord, through the Lord's Supper, the Holy Communion that he has instituted, that the church would come together to partake, that we would remember. And the Lord also teaches us that we are to come with a time of self-reflection and self-examination before we would partake of the elements. So let us take a little time to consider. Let us spend a little time to in quiet prayer before we would distribute the bread and the cup. Let us pray.
The hymn is 183. We shall have the first two stanzas as we ask our usher to help. Jesus paid it all, 183. Please come forward and pick up the elements, the bread and the cup. Peel off the plastic at the top so that you would avail yourself to the bread. Our Lord Jesus says, "Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Let us partake of the bread. Please peel off the plastic for the cup. Our Lord Jesus says, "This cup is a new testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me." Let us partake of the cup. believers arise for the next, the third stanza of the hymn 183. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee for the gift of thy only begotten Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and the elements that helps us to remember the sacrifice of Christ on our behalf. O Lord, let us not be a forgetful people. Help us to remember and to be grateful and to be up and about repaying indeed our gospel debt through our lives, our living, our speaking, our doing, our thinking. May it all bring honor and glory to thy only begotten Son, who has made the sacrifice for us, and to our God for thy great love toward us, that indeed thy love may abound in our hearts. This I pray with thanksgiving through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. The offertory hymn is 558. We plow the fields. We plow the fields. congregation, please arise for the doxology. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. We thank Thee for these gifts that Thy people have brought before Thee in holy worship. May Thou be pleased to receive them and multiply them for the furtherance of Thy kingdom on earth through the preaching of the gospel and in the defense of the faith. Send Thy people forth to be Thy witnesses. And may the good word of the gospel go forth from here beyond these shores to the uttermost parts of the earth to accomplish Thy good purpose for the salvation of souls, edification of the saints, for Thy own honor and glory. This we ask and pray with thanksgiving, asking for Thy blessing upon every cheerful giver. This I will pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Congregation, please be seated. The hymn before the pastoral prayer and the message reunion, part 1, is the hymn 313, O Love That Will Not Let Me Go. 313. Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, we come before Thee with thanksgiving for seeing us safely through yet another week. And as we come before Thee on this first day of the week, this day of rest and gladness, may Thou be gracious to refresh our souls, to grant us that spiritual strengthening, comfort, that Thy Spirit may come, that Thy Word may be ministered to our heart. O Lord, that we may experience Thy peace and joy anew as we rest upon Thee and what our Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished and is doing now at the right hand of the Father, interceding for each one of us. O Lord, we thank Thee, for in the Lord Jesus Christ we shall never be lost, for Thou hast said that Thou would uphold us with Thy right hand. O Lord, we are strengthened by Thee, and we wait upon Thee in this new week, looking to Thee for grace, for strength, and we ask that Thou would anoint and fill us anew with the freshness of Thy Holy Spirit, that we may find in Thee indeed our satisfaction, our sufficiency, our all-pervading delight, that our souls may be uplifted because we have been with Thee, because Thy presence have comforted, succored us, and we have received consolation because we have been with Thee, and Thy Word has ministered to us as honey, as the sweetness of the honeycomb. O Lord, we bless Thee, and we ask that Thou would strengthen Thy people, especially those who are in beds of affliction. We remember before Thee our dear sister Pauline, who has had a fall and fractured her toe. Father, we pray that Thou would be gracious to comfort her, heal her, strengthen her, and Thy very presence to cheer her during this time of need, during this time of pain and discomfort. May Thou be her portion as always. Lord, we wait upon Thee, that may Thou be gracious to strengthen her. Father in heaven, we pray for this land of Singapore. We pray for the government that Thou hast placed over us to rule this land. We pray that they would rule with justice and equity. We pray that the gospel work may continue from here and beyond this shore for Thy own honor and glory. Father in heaven, as we await Thy soon coming and the signs of Thy return, may Thy joy fill our hearts and strengthen us so that Thy body, the church, may be made ready to meet with our Lord. And Lord, we ask that Thou would now bless the preaching of Thy holy word. May Thy Spirit come and fill us, illumine us, strengthen us, and grant us understanding, and that life may come to us with fresh instruction of wisdom as we wait upon Thee. In Thy word, help us, Lord. This we pray with thanksgiving through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Reunion, part 1, Genesis chapter 43 and verses 15 to 34. The reunion dinner is a Chinese tradition where family members gather to partake a meal together before ushering a new year. Family members catch up with one another over the meal. We have a blessed time of well-wishing and bonding. The bonds of blood relationship cherished and celebrated. For my family, my mother would prepare dinner, and my siblings and their family would gather together for a sumptuous steamboat dinner. It's an annual feast, and my mother would prepare way in advance so that the family can be gathered together for this happy occasion. Although the dinner may last just 2 hours, 2 hours of eating and resting and eating with conversation, it often dragged to 3 to 4 hours. Although my sisters are not believers, it was a time where we could get together to inquire one of another, each time an opportunity for sharing the gospel. Joseph has not seen his brothers for many years, since he was sold as a slave to Egypt. Those times when he was a prisoner in the dungeon of the chief steward of the Pharaoh, till the time when he could interpret the dreams of Pharaoh and how he was made to administer over the great abundance of crop that would come in 7 years of plenty, and then the 7 years of empty, the 7 years of famine. It is during these 7 years of famine, several years into it, that this scene that is before us of Joseph reuniting with his brothers again, and especially Benjamin, his own blood brother through the beloved wife of Jacob by the name of Rachel. And we could see, though the brothers could not recognize Joseph, but he knew that those were his brothers, and his bowels yearned for them, especially when he saw Benjamin. He could not hold his emotions anymore. It was a great withholding, as it were, till he has reached the limit. He had to quickly excuse himself in order not to expose himself. He wept. He was so happy to see his little brother, who was so young when they left each other. So many years they have not seen each other. How they must have missed one another. In the old days, families are poor because of economic necessity. Parents sometimes sell one of their children so that they can have money enough to feed the rest. So sad. And yet, because of the threat of starvation, desperate actions are taken. Well, Jacob was in a desperate situation for the entire family. There was no more food on the table. The famine has been long and severe. It is threatening the entire family and its existence. Well, sometimes in those cases of when the family sells their children, the brother or sister would leave the family, never to meet again. Sometimes the foster family does not want the child to go back to the family. So imagine the heartaches of the parents and the siblings. For Joseph's case, he being estranged from his family was simply a wicked ploy of his brothers. They hated him for exposing their waywardness. And to top it up, the father, Jacob, loved him so much, doted on him. He was the beloved son of his beloved wife, Rachel. And how Jacob made the coat of many colors for Joseph. And it made the other siblings so envious, so much so, that they were willing to sell that brother and lied to the father that this son is dead, gone. Forget about him. They just hated his very presence with them. Jacob understood that Joseph has died, and therefore he has lost his firstborn from his beloved wife. There was great loss that the father experienced. And here in this text, we are going to see how God is going to bring the brothers to a reconciliation. Just one thought for today: family love rekindled. Family love rekindled. After receiving so much hatred, so much maligning, so much evil, having to spend the better part of his youthful life in prison, incarcerated. In other words, if you are Joseph, you would have understood that you have wasted a large part of your life. It could not, or it would not have been like that, but it was like that. So as we think about our text, may the Lord help us to reflect upon family ties, blood ties, and how family ties required love to put that bond, that bring that bond together. And God is going to work out something in His own good time. Verse 15 of our text says, "And the men," that is the sons of Jacob, "took the present that Jacob had prepared, and they took double money in their hand, and Benjamin," right, remember Joseph said to them, "If Benjamin doesn't come, no food for you. Only if Benjamin comes." So they were persuading father to let Benjamin go. If not, no food. And Jacob understood. He could not understand why. Providence is so harsh upon him that he would have to let go of his son Benjamin. What if something happened to him? But he was torn in between. On the one hand, the family's existence is at stake. On the other hand, he stands to lose Benjamin. But God has an overall plan, a good plan for the family. And so you see that they obeyed the father's instruction, having Benjamin with them to go down to Egypt. So with the little gift they brought to the ruler of Egypt to win his favor. Not a significant gesture considering the stature of this ruler of Egypt. Nevertheless, Joseph was happy to see his younger brother Benjamin. So our text tells us that he immediately decided to hold a feast for them at his home. Verse 16. And Joseph saw Benjamin with them, and he said to the ruler of his house, "Bring this man home and slay and make ready, for this man shall dine with me at noon." He was so happy to see his brothers. He wanted to extend hospitality to them, especially Benjamin, his very own. And so he said to his men, "Let's prepare. Let's prepare the best feast and invite them over." And so the preparation was being made. And the men did as Joseph bade, and the men brought them, the men, into Joseph's house. Verse 17. And verse 18, the men were afraid. The brothers were afraid because they did not know what Joseph was up to. They surmised, based on their analysis, that Joseph may be planning something to harm them. Because you remember the first trip that they came together, he accused them, "You are spies. You are traitors." So what is the treatment for spies and traitors? Well, the treatment for spies and traitors that they would straight away be incarcerated. Right? The authority is very angry with spies and traitors. And so they were very afraid, and they thought, "Perhaps we should do something. What can we do to clear our name?" So verse 19 tells us they came near to the steward of Joseph's house, and they communed with him at the first time. And he says to him, "Oh sir," verse 20, "we came down at the first to buy food, and it came to pass when we come to the inn, we open our sack, and behold, everyone's money was in his mouth of his sack, our money in full weight. We have brought it again in our into our hands." So he says, "We are no thief. We discovered the money. And this money that was discovered, we brought it all back, and we have brought double, so that to us to show our innocence, that we are not thieves, we are not here to gather grain without paying, but we have brought double money." And so our text tells us the explanation. And he says, "We cannot tell why the money was placed in our sack." Of course, it was God, it was Joseph, who wanted to test the brothers' integrity, that he has placed them there in order to see if they have changed. Were they that old, deceitful self? Or over the years, God has worked the work of sanctification in their heart, in their conscience, to reveal some goodness in them. So he wanted to know, is there a change? So just imagine, these are relationships that we are speaking of. And here we see Joseph in his situation, and how we observe that they bow to Joseph. How they bow to Joseph. The word of God is fulfilled here. Remember the dream of Joseph? How the Lord had gave him the dream, that indeed in a time in the future this will happen. And well, it was that moment. So verse 26 of our text says, when Joseph came home, they brought him the present which was in their hand, and bowed themselves to him to the earth. So you see how God spoke to Joseph in that dream so many years back. How the Lord is fulfilling His word. How God is faithful to His word. Every word that He gives to His people that we read in the Bible, we know that it comes from a faithful God who lieth not. And we can trust His word. And for Joseph, well, we see how, as he reveals through his life what happened in the past, to see how God superintends over the affairs of men. He had planted the dream in Joseph's mind, and he used it to make a prediction of what will happen to him in his latter years. You see, if Joseph had a choice, would he have chosen to go the way he went? Or would he rather live a quiet and peaceful life by his father's side? Now, oftentimes, you realize we don't have a choice, isn't it? Providence has it. That life for Joseph will go in this way. So we see that we are but clay in the potter's hand, in the divine potter's hand. He makes us whatsoever way He pleases. And this is how we will be. This is God's will for our lives. In a sense, we said we cannot choose our destiny. It's chosen by God for us. This was the path that Joseph would take. He would have to suffer in the earlier part of his life for a purpose. When Moses was a baby, it was God's will that he will flow down the river now in a basket, only to be picked up by Pharaoh's daughter, so that he will be brought up as a prince in Egypt. And Saul of Tarsus, the Apostle Paul, how he would be the one whom God will call. And the Lord said to Ananias, remember when Paul was blinded by a bright light? God called Ananias to go and meet this blind man and baptized him. And Ananias said to him, the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. How God orders our life. And Jeremiah, the Lord said to him in Jeremiah 1 verse 4 to 5, before I formed thee in the valley, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. What a great God we serve. The life that we live, all in the hands of God. And Jeremiah said to God, I'm a child, for thou shalt go to all that I send thee. Whatsoever I command thee, speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, the Lord said to him. And the Lord put forth his hand and touched his mouth. We realize that our lives are in the hands of God, and He orders all things for His own honor and glory. So whether in dungeon or whether in the palace, let us be willing to be walking in the center of God's will. If you know that this is God's will for us, well, let us have peace and be willing to rest in Him amidst tumult, amidst unrest within and without. Well, we see this the same for Joseph's life. God had sent him forth to Egypt so that he may prepare the way for his family to have a subsistence there in Egypt. God will protect them, and it was a place of incubation, of isolation, of multiplication. The ultimate plan of God was to fulfill His redemption for the salvation of all mankind, to create the nation of Israel as a witness to all the nations of the world. You see, after the global flood and after the dispersal at the Tower of Babel, right, the Lord says that there will be nation states. Nation states will be the way by which God will reach out to the people in the world. So He scattered them, He confounded their language, and God will raise the nation of Israel, to be a witness to all the nations of the world. This was God's plan, and out of that nation will come her foremost son, Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. This was God's plan. And so when Joseph met with his brothers, wow, he was so happy to see them again. Verse 23 of our text says, and he said, peace be to you. Fear not, your God and the God of your father hath given you treasure in your sacks. I had your money, his steward said to him. And he brought Simeon out to them, and the man brought them into Joseph's house, gave them water, washed their feet, and gave them their asses, provender. So he was well taken care of. And Joseph came to them there at noon. And Joseph came home and brought him the present, was in his hand, and bowed. And here verse 26 says, they bowed themselves to him to the earth. And Joseph asked them of their welfare and said, is your father well? The old man of whom ye speak, is he yet alive? He was very concerned. Right? As you read the text, you probably be wondering, after so many years, why did Joseph not at least send out some people to go look for the family? Well, as you think of it, it was not such an easy journey, right, between Egypt and Canaan. It was a wilderness journey. And it's not so simple, as it were. And here you see him asking for the welfare of the brothers, of the father. He was concerned about the well-being of his father. He wanted to know how they are getting on. And so they answered, thy servant, our father, verse 28, is in good health. He's yet alive. And they bowed down their heads and made obeisance. So we observe here again how God fulfills His purpose for Joseph's life. Like the Apostle Paul, he learned to do God's will for his life, whatever the seasons of life. You realize that whether it's this time or that time, God is with us. We go through the seasons of life. And so the Apostle Paul learned to rest in the Lord in those seasons of life. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 11 to 14. Or 13. Philippians chapter 4. It says here, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I'm instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. If you have God as your sufficiency, then there is that restfulness that God will give you as He leads you to fulfill His holy purpose for your life. God has a plan for your life, and He leads you to fulfill it, and He asks that you would rest in Him as He leads you. Whatever the external circumstances that comes to you, Paul says, I learn to be abased, how to be abased, and how to abound, how to be hungry and to be full. Because he says that the Lord is with me, whether I'm hungry or whether I'm full. We have that tendency to think that if I'm hungry, God is not with me. If God is with me, then I must be full. I cannot be hungry. Well, Paul says that he leads us through the seasons of life to mold us, to make us, to conform to his image. And here you see God fulfilling it in Joseph's lives. We learn that whatsoever state we be, therewith to trust in the Lord, therewith to be satisfied with our lot in life. That God makes no mistakes. Right? We tend to think that when we have little of the material possessions of this world, then God is further from us. Is that the truth? Not the truth. God is with us in whatsoever state that we be. And he wants us to understand the divine truth concerning his care for us as he molds us to be more and more conformed to his attributes, to his image. So what did Joseph learn in his exhortation? Oh, he learned to forgive his brothers. He learned to love them, though so unlovable, so difficult. Oh, God taught him, and we learn too. So the first time he sees his brother again, his mother's son, after so many years, he could not control himself. Verse 29 of our text says, he lifted his eyes and saw his brother Benjamin, his mother's son, and said, is this your brother Benjamin of whom he speak unto me? And he said, God be gracious unto thee, my son. And Joseph made haste, for his bowels did yearn for his brother, and he sought where to weep, and he entered into his chamber and wept there. And he washed his face and went out and refrained himself and set on bread. So what happened as the tears flowed down? Well, all the memories came back to him. Probably all the sufferings that we went through, all the good times that he had with his family, how he was with father, and father was with him, and how the father sent him off to inquire concerning the well-being of his brothers. And what happened to him? Well, if you think of it, if God's love is not in us, we can become very bitter. We can become very vengeful. We can become very angry. We can become very wrathful. But because God's love is in us, there is a tenderness in our heart. That is why there you see he wept. And that is why you see here he prepared a feast for his brothers. There was no harm intended. But he wanted to test and see if indeed there has been a change. So as you think about him excusing himself because he could not control his emotions that welled up in him. He was overwhelmed. All those years, imagine he was solitary in prison, thinking about what it will be. You remember? After he interpreted the butler and the baker's dream, he had to spend another two more years in prison. Wow, those times of incarceration. All the memories came back to him. He excused himself as the tears flowed down. The blessed time at home with his father loving him dearly and his younger brother, his own blood brother. And the days that he was away from them, he must have missed them so much. Family ties. So all these memories overwhelmed him. And then he overcame himself. He refrained himself, our text tells us. And they sat on him by himself. And they had the meal. And he set them all, our text tells us, in according to their birthright, verse 33. The firstborn to the youngest. So they were all very surprised, sitting there, eldest brother, second brother, third brother. How did he know? How did this Egyptian prince know what is going on in that family? And there they had a good time. And he took and sent masses unto them, verse 34. But Benjamin's mass was 5 times more. And they drank and they were merry with him. It was a happy time of reunion for Joseph. Oh, there was no hatred, but full of reminiscence of good feelings, of love. He was able to see his brother again and how he extended the hospitality for this meal together. For the brothers, this must be the best meal they had for a long time. So they ate and they drank. They had a good time together with Joseph. Step by step, the Lord is giving to Joseph all the encouragement and comfort that he missed. For the people of God, God knows what we are going through. The Lord, in a sense, measure every drop of tear that flows out of you. God knows the pain of our Lord Jesus Christ at the right hand of the Father. Praise for us. He knows what we are going through. Let us rest in him. How the Lord make good for his people in the various seasons of life. The fellowship time with his brothers was a happy reunion. May the Lord help us to cherish our family. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank thee for thy holy word. Strengthen us by thy Holy Spirit and bless thy word to the strengthening of the faith of the hearts of thy people. For thy own namesake, this I ask and pray with thanksgiving through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our closing hymn is 261. Blessed be the tie that binds. Please arise for the closing hymn, 261. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. Please be seated. To read the pastoral in page 1 and page 4, we send our condolences to the family of Madam Kwan Woon Chun, who went home to be with the Lord last Lord's Day. It was night time, about 9:30 p.m. when we received the call. The son Xavier contacted, said, "I need to rush to the hospital. My mother is not well." So she went home to be with the Lord. We thank the Lord for His grace in sustaining the family. She was baptized on the 29th of December 2019 here in this worship center. She was unable to come to church for 8 weeks because she fell and she was too weak. But the Lord allowed her, after 8 weeks of weakness, to have enough strength to come to church. So she came early December 2019, and she was able to be prepared for her baptism on the 29th of December 2019. We have enclosed there her testimony. We thank the Lord for her faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the faith that her daughter gave to her. And they have both the daughter, and here Madam Kwan and left behind the little boy, little Horatio Lincoln Gore, 6 years old. Well, we pray that the Lord would be gracious to bring him to church. Family members has indicated that somehow they will find a way. So we said to them, yes, somehow the Lord will make a way for the young boy to come. May the Lord help us as we commit this matter to the Lord. Madam Kwan, now reunited with her daughter Maisie in heaven with Jesus. All praise to our great God for giving her faith to believe. That's all the announcements. We shall have our Sunday school classes.